Good morning. It's 9 a.m. Tuesday, October 17th. I'd like to call the Policy and Strategy Committee meeting to order and begin by acknowledging that we're in the ancestral and unceded territory of the Mi'kmaq people. Are there any announcements, acknowledgments, or recognitions? Councillor Oichel?
Thank you very much. I would like to recognize the Hebbville Fire Department for hosting a successful Lunenburg County Female Firefighters Networking Day. Over 60 female firefighters from across the county attended, including in the number were not just seasoned female firefighters, but new and junior female firefighters. Councillor Greek, who is a firefighter, was also in attendance. Mayor Bolivar Getson attended the day as well, and I was able to participate and learn a great deal at the event.
Excellent.
It was a great
day. I heard
day.
It was pretty awesome. Okay, Councillor Haysom?
Thanks so much. Yeah, I'd just like to announce that the Petite Riviere Fire Department is doing their lasagna fundraiser, and it's coming up on Saturday, so there's probably still a chance to get your orders in, but, you know, sort of piggybacking on maybe the importance of fire departments within our area, they do a lot of work and a lot of volunteer work to support the community. And one of the things that they do with that Lasagna Fire Department fundraiser is they make donations to the Petite Elementary School as well. So I can't read that from here, but just want to thank everyone. If you want to place an order, you'd have to go to the Petite store or get in touch with someone at the fire department. I should have a phone number on hand, but I don't. Thank you.
Excellent. Councillor Moore?
Thank you. The mayor and myself was honored to attend Tollermania 2, which is the second Duck Toller get-together in New Germany on the Conrad Road. It was on from Friday till Sunday, and we attended on Sunday and took a plaque with best wishes. It was... There were people there from seven different countries. There was 325 people attending, 250 tallers from as far away as New Zealand, Australia, Sweden, UK, USA. And there was also a wedding that day. So,
yeah.
And Carolyn can fill in the
Excellent.
History of it.
Mayor Bolivar Getson?
I guess when we think about the Conrad Road, we don't think about having economic development and whatever, but this has grown into an international event. And hats off to the organizers, because Dan and Melissa definitely have brought this a long ways. And when you talk to the people who are attending from out of country, Australia and Colorado or Oregon, and they traveled here with their dogs, or not the Australians, but the ones from the U.S., they took weeks of vacation. They've traveled all over the province, and they've been at the Best Western over here for over a week. It definitely speaks volumes to what this has grown into. And like I said, it's amazing. If you have the opportunity to attend, you really should take part or visit the site.
And you might want to mention it all started with the barbecue.
Yeah, the concept actually started with a barbecue that it's the Diesel Dog Ranch. Yeah. And the Diesel was a dog that the individual owner's dog had passed away. And this was supposed to be in memory of Diesel, and he was inviting a few friends for a barbecue. And what started out as a barbecue grew into Tollermania 1 and now 2, and has been very successful both years.
Excellent. Councillor Haysom?
Thank you. Yeah, just one more thing to mention. Back in August, Council had passed the motion to authorize the amendment of Section 4 of Chapter 72 of the Lunenburg Commons Act regarding Cape Lehave Island and the conservation easement. And it turns out that our MLA, Becky Druin, is going to be introducing the Lunenburg Common Lands Act bill this Wednesday in the legislature. So just like to acknowledge that as well.
Excellent. Are there any other acknowledgements, announcements, or recognitions? Okay. So we will... Is there anyone here for public input? Public input? So we have changes to the agenda. Councillor Haysom?
me again. Thank you. I just wanted to add an item, just a quick update from the Internal Transportation Committee.
Okay, so we'll add that to 11.1. So I would like an approval for the agenda. Councillor Wynot, seconded by Mayor Balivergetson. All those in favor? Motion's passed unanimously. Oh, I'm sorry. Councillor Statton? I think that's
yes, I put my hand up. So
I'm sorry. I forgot.
Awesome. That's okay.
It's unanimous. So an approval of the minutes from September 19th. Councillor Haysom, seconded by Councillor Moore.
Question.
All those in favor? Councillor Statton?
Yes.
Motion's passed unanimously. So I believe we have, are you Le Havre Coastal? Awesome. If you're ready, would you like to start early? Okay.
Do you have slides?
I think Alex is coming to. Okay. Perfect. So Le Havre Coastal, Protect East Spectacle Island. And I don't have any names. I'll get you to introduce yourself when you start.
Andrew Sunderland. I'm president. Sorry?
My name's Andrew Kimball, and I'm legal counsel, I guess, but more importantly, an interested party as well in support of the group.
Thank you.
Okay. First slide. Anyway, we're a relatively new organization. Is this working?
Yeah.
Oh, there, push the button. Okay.
Okay.
Relatively new organization, a couple of years old. We spent our first year just jumping through regulatory hoops to get to be legitimate. And we arose out of concerns, environmental concerns, developmental concerns, you know, so much development around. And it's kind of amazing how much people came on side. People were reacting to climate change, just climate anxiety, environmental degradation, that kind of thing. Our mandate... Our mandate is habitat restoration and education of the public. Now, should we go to the next slide, or what do we do?
Oh, yeah. How do we do this?
That's
right.
That's your job. Okay.
He could get fired, huh?
Okay.
That's right.
I guess I'll continue with the overview. Residents in our area, our geographic area, which I'll get into, have stepped up. They've offered up land and money to preserve in perpetuity. We would hold it as a land bank kind of concept and manage it ecologically, each piece being, how would you put it, whatever was appropriate for that particular piece of land. Our mandate is education and reforestation. And we have chosen to reestablish a pre-colonial ecosystem, which is before Champlain. We did that because it would produce a more stable ecosystem with greater diversity, so we have a greater resistance to climate change and such things as forest fires. And unfortunately, many of the tree species that exist there in that time aren't available anymore, so we have actually begun our own process of cultivating those. And as well, we're currently partnered with Southwest Nova Biosphere and the Canadian government in the 2 billion tree planting project. Amongst our opportunities, we have a chance to buy East Spectacle Island. We have an agreement with the sellers to at the price which is posted, and we have $100,000 already donated to this cause, and we're looking for some more support. Obviously, we're going to be looking at various levels of government to get it. The reason, you might slip to the next one. We can explain where e-spectacle is even. Okay, we can continue with that. There it is there. Okay. E-spectacle Islands in the mouth. I don't know if everybody knows where it is. It's in the mouth of the... jump back.
Yeah.
Here we go, right there. Yeah, it's just inside of Mosier's Island in the mouth of the river. It's currently uninhabited. It was the unique thing about it is it had only one owner, which is unusual in Lunenburg County. And the opportunity for us is that it's a contiguous piece of land, so we could reestablish an ecosystem on there, and it wouldn't be disturbed by external lack of ecosystem, I guess you'd call it. And actually, getting a contiguous piece of land in Lunenburg County is really difficult because the land is divided up. As you can see in those on the property lines on that map, they're tiny little pieces of land, and they're very difficult to amalgamate. Okay, next. You want to go to the next slide? So there is a... that's an aerial photograph. It has potentially a number of ecosystems on it and a variety of possibly endangered species. We're currently looking at... we're currently doing evaluations, surveys of what might be on there, but the reality of the island is it's been degraded over the years. I mean, far from the pine, oak, and beech that Champlain encountered, it's a degraded forest. You want to slip to the next one? Okay, there we go. That's kind of self-explanatory. Our closing is in December, so we have a timeline here. The sellers are on side and are willing to they've cooperated with us to a great extent because they believe in our issue. You want to keep going? Next one. So this is what's been going on. We've been doing our outreach to donors. We're looking at federal and provincial monies as well, and we're doing the ecological surveys, as many as we can squeeze in at this particular time. We would like an update from the council on November 7th, if we could, if you would allow us. And and there's some examples, if you want to flip through some of those possibilities.
I'm getting better with this.
You're getting better with it?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's all the slides there are. Anyway, I'm hoping you'll consider supporting us doing this because, well, it's a very long-term proposition. Us trying to rejuvenate Lunenburg County. And there's given how small our geographic area, that's more or less, that map there shows where we're focusing our efforts. And we have a number of pieces of land all over the place, but they're, once again, they're very small. And we're hoping to get a contiguous piece built. Anyway, you got anything you want to add?
Well, just maybe by way of a little bit of a background, the organization has been established as a not-for-profit organization. It's a federally incorporated not-for-profit, and we have been registered with the Charities Directorate. The other thing we've done is we've been able to partner with a group called the American Friends of Canadian Conservation, and that's an important partnership which has already been very helpful to the group, as it is an organization that assists in facilitating donations from U.S. residents, such that the U.S. residents can benefit from tax receipt on their U.S. taxable income. We have a lot, and you're probably all aware, we have a lot of U.S. resident property owners, and in the area that's shown up here on the map, there are many, many people that love this area, and they've been enabled because of this partnership to donate. And we did successfully acquire land on Bell Island in the summertime, and the support was phenomenal. We raised the money very quickly and were able to secure a really excellent piece of property there, which we've already planted trees on, actually. So the organization's structure is one that is very open, very public, but it's set up to, and we'll continue to look at ways to make the organization as effective as possible in terms of raising money. And you'll see in the information that we passed around that to date the organization in a very short period of time has been very successful in both receiving land donations, donations of money, and acquiring property, which is all subject to this overall mandate that relates to not just the preservation, but looking at diversity of forests, and the focus being on trees that would have originally been here before they were all taken down a long time ago. With respect to the efforts that we have underway right now, there, Jim had mentioned there are a number of studies being conducted related to the island, and specifically related to what the island contains, so its diversity, the lay of the land, notwithstanding the fact that we understand that there used to be an old hotel out there, believe it or not, a long time ago. We're not going to build a hotel.
And a road.
Yeah, and a what?
And a road.
And a road, yeah, and a road through the island. Yeah. So we're looking to acquire information that would allow for a very technical assessment of what's there, which will be a roadmap to looking at what can be done to the island in the future. So I guess, yeah, those are my additional thoughts.
Do we have any questions? Mayor Bulliver-Getson, go ahead.
Just for clarification, I see on here that it states that the LaHave Coastal has raised roughly $200,000. Of that, $100,000 is earmarked for the acquisition of?
No, this is money that's been raised previously.
Okay. So how long have you been in existence? Did it say that?
Two years.
About 2 years from inception. Yeah.
So there's been $300,000, is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah.
That has been raised so far in relation to to that.
And we're still fundraising.
And I see that this greenhouse project.
Yes.
So you don't own the island, but you have permission to.
Oh, no, we're not, the greenhouse
is
project
on the mainland.
Is on the
mainland. That's on the mainland to take out. Okay, yeah. I'm looking at this as thinking it's on the island. I'm trying to get my head around.
That would be difficult, actually.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's...
Okay,
it's,
so that's to populate with the natural species as well.
Yes, that's the goal, because they're not really available anymore.
And again, the location, Mosier's is where on this map?
It's up there on the map. Mosier's
is the one out further?
Slightly seaward.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's right above Mosier's on that map.
All right.
And
right out from
there's
Dublin Shore Government Wharf area.
You go out from the Dublin Shore.
Yeah.
And,
Okay.
All right. Councillor DeLong?
Thank you for the presentation. Are you asking for a specific dollar amount?
I think the ask on the slides was $100,000. But
oh, okay.
But if we had $20,
thank you.
Anything's going to help here.
We do plan to come back, if possible, on November, sometime in November, early November, with an update on how we're doing.
Mayor Bulliver-Getson?
I guess supplementary. Have you reached out to the provincial government? I know that they announced here in the last week or two the willingness to look at conserving more land, and I think that was federal, provincial, I believe.
Yeah, we've been in touch with two departments, and we have some meetings scheduled with Environment coming up this week, and then Natural Resources. We don't have a meeting yet, but we've also I've also talked to them.
And I assume MICA doesn't come this way.
They don't.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Councillor Vino.
Thank you. I'm not familiar with the island, so I just have two questions. Mm-hmm. Is it accessible for people to go and walk and get access to it via a boat easily, or would something need to be constructed to do so?
I wouldn't, I wouldn't say it's easily accessible. It's out there. I mean, some people get frightened by going out to sea in the way that it is.
Yeah.
Dublin Shore, the government wharf there has a launch, you know, a public launch that you can put a boat out to it. There's a lot of kayaking and that sort of thing around there. I think our goal is not so much a recreational kind of thing, but an ecosystem. You know, so it would be open to the public, but we're not planning to create a campground or
of course, that a natural. Sorry,
leave
yeah.
it as natural
as, natural as, can
as
be.
Possible, and hoping that would be kind of a seed ecosystem that would spread. That's the concept. I don't know if I've made that clear.
Yeah, no, that's right. And part of our mission statement is education of the public. That's a really important piece once we're up and running. So when it comes to access, it wouldn't be access that would be. It would be monitored access. You know, we're not saying that there wouldn't be access. It would just be the purpose would be for education.
The background with me asking that is being familiar with our MICA properties and having moorings, and it's basically leave-only footprints.
It's a different thrust that we're proposing here. Okay. I mean, with MICA and even part of Cape Lehave, it's running the risk of getting loved to death. You know, because so many people are using it, so we're approaching it from a different angle.
Okay, thank you,
Councillor Oikle.
Yes, I'm really intrigued by what you said regarding the seeding. I'm assuming you mean birds would gather up seeds and then they would end up taking them to the land, to mainland or to other islands, and that because. Can you be more specific in the type of trees that are not there that you plan to introduce that are not available?
Well, it's the old, when Champlain came, he talked about the vast pine, beech, and oak forest that was in Nova Scotia, which is gone, basically, especially along the coast. And with it went that particular ecosystem, and so it's made it vulnerable. You know, we've had these forest fires and that sort of thing, which is a net result. So the island actually is almost a monoculture of softwood, which has then been beetle killed. So we would like to restore it to that those species. Excuse me, and. Would hope. I mean, they're not available, so we're having to cultivate them ourselves. That's what our greenhouse is about. And I think I was talking to Letha about getting acorns because oaks are scarce. There's no hardwood out there to speak of, maybe some red maple, but mostly the old species that were there are gone.
And I think that's various types of oak, Great American Elm, types of cedar as well. That were part of that pre-colonial, that existed in early days.
Councillor Haysom, and then Mayor Bellavergetson.
Thank you so much. Actually, Councillor Oikle posed a number of my questions about the reseeding and the state of the trees that are currently on the island. I heard that there weren't a ton of acorns, actually, Jim, unfortunately. But I did also just want to comment that there does seem to be an interesting opportunity here, just if you look at the geography of this area. The Shobok lands are sort of across the water from East Spetakel Island, and then, of course, Cape Lehave on the other side. So it does seem like an interesting opportunity. Thanks.
Mayor Bulover-Getson.
And I guess, I believe I read in here about yellow birch, whatever, introducing.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, it's
so
not exhausting.
There is hardwood. You're talking about the oak and the yellow birch. But I was also intrigued to find out if anyone evaluated the island or assessed the island after the hurricane to see what damage may have been or how many trees were lost in that.
Many. Most of them were beetle killed, you know, they're the borers.
So we have the hemlock out?
There's I don't believe there's any hemlock out there. It was mostly spruce and fir.
Okay.
You know, that's pretty much all that's left out there. And,
right.
A lot of it, yeah.
I just know that side of our...
That's the risk of a monoculture.
Yeah.
Because you get a disease, runs right through, kills all the trees, and there's nothing
left. If it's all the same, yeah.
Whereas with what we're proposing, we would have an overstory of mature trees that would be long-lived, and, you wouldn't get that kind of reaction.
Thank you. Do we have any other questions? Councillor DeLong.
Thank you. Have you been in touch with MICA regarding this?
We do talk to KCC and MICA.
Okay.
Various organ. We're hand in glove, but we, like I said, we have a different kind of mandate.
Yeah. Well, the reason I ask is because I believe that MICA does focus on conservation, similar to what you're attempting here. So there might be more opportunities for partnership than currently.
Yeah, there is some synergies there. Same with Nature Trust.
Yeah.
We've been talking to them. I mean, yeah, we're not territorial.
No,
well, we are, because we have a limited territory, but we're not.
Yeah. There might be some opportunity for collaboration there. That's all I'm suggesting.
Yes. Awesome. No, for sure. Thank you.
Perfect. Are there any other questions, comments? Well, thank you for the presentation. We don't make decisions right now at the table, but staff will definitely be in contact.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so we have a presentation at 10:15. We'll go down to 10.1, Adventure Trail Association, and this is Mayor Bulover-Getson.
So this is an ask that came in from the Adventure Trail Association in respect to a safety issue on the Cornwall Road intersection of the Adventure Trail. And they are asking for trail crossing ahead signs to be erected there. It's a very dangerous piece of land. It's where a road. It's where you come down on the blockhouse hill before you get to the four-way stop, right by the post office is right above it. So you have a lot of traffic coming in and out and in all avenues there. I know this intersection and this hill has been before this council many times, from Jake Break signs to fixing up the corner, and now there's a regular market there on the weekends that generates a lot of traffic as well. So for the safety of our residents and ATVs that are crossing there, I definitely would like to put forward a motion the province or to our MLAs to make sure that signs can be erected there.
So do you get
and I would be prepared to move that motion.
Okay, I'll ask you to put the motion on the floor.
So that policy and strategy to the chair person. That the Policy and Strategy Committee recommend to Council that Municipal Council direct the Mayor to write to the Provincial Minister responsible for Public Works, Kim Maslin, and copy MLA Susan Corkum Greek and the Chair of the Adventure Trail Association requesting the installation of trail crossing ahead signs on the approaches to the Adventure Trail on the Cornwall Road due to the public safety concern.
We have a seconder. Councillor DeLong, is there any discussion on the motion? Okay. So all those in favor? Councillor Staton?
Yes.
Motion's passed unanimously. So we still have quite a bit of time. We're going to go down to 10.2, and this is Councillor Oikle. Should I go back up to that?
Yeah, we can do all of them.
Okay, Councillor Oikle, we're going to put you on hold for a minute. Now I get to go in order. 9.1, Intermunicipal Regional Anti-Racism and Diversity Agreement. And I believe this is Tom that's going to lead us on this, or Alex?
No, it'll be me.
Okay, so Tom?
Hey, thank you. So in your package, you have a copy of the Intermunicipal Service Agreement on Anti-Racism and Diversity. And it's similar in nature to the Intermunicipal Service Agreement on Accessibility. The agreement is for all five units in the region, so the District of Lunenburg, the District of Chester, the Town of Bridgewater, the Town of Mahone Bay, and the Town of Lunenburg. And three units have already signed it, so that would be Chester, Bridgewater, Mahone Bay, and the last two signatories would be the District of Lunenburg and the Town of Lunenburg, and I understand that the Town of Lunenburg was bringing it to its council this month. So I can just quickly go over the terms. The general term, the purpose of the Intermunicipal Service Agreement, is to provide for coordinated anti-racism and diversity services. The host municipality is the District of Chester, and the host is going to be responsible for all the administrative functions, including financial record keeping, minute taking, and reporting. And the host municipality will include the anti-racism and diversity coordinator assets and activities on their insurance. The agreement also creates an anti-racism and anti-discrimination committee. And the committee has been established and the terms of reference have been agreed to. So the next step would be to create the committee. The terms of reference are set out in Section 6. The agreement also calls for the hiring of an anti-racism and diversity coordinator, and the goal is to have the coordinator in place prior to creating and populating the committee. And the terms of the coordinator are set out in the agreement. You'll see it, Section 8, the parties are going to cost share the anti-racism and diversity coordinator on an annual budget, and it's broken down based upon uniform assessment. The municipality district of Lunenburg would be responsible for 49.89%. There will be a budget created, operating and capital budget, by February 1st of the fiscal year, and that will be taken to each of the member councils for approval in much the same way as the accessibility coordinator and the accessibility budget is. The agreement can be terminated. So the agreement is effective August 1st, 2023, ends April 1st, 2026. And by motion of each council, the agreement may be extended. Each party is going to indemnify its representatives for any liability. The dispute resolution is the Arbitration Act in the event of any challenges. So we're asking for a motion for the Policy and Strategy Committee to refer to council the adoption of the Intermunicipal Service Agreement, which will allow the regional group to move forward with the hiring of a coordinator.
Councillor Staton, you have a question?
I do, for Tom, if I might. Can you just list some of the duties that you're expecting this coordinator to have? And you said the agreement was going back to August 2023. So when is the expected time to hire this person, next budget year? Or is it... are we looking for someone ASAP?
So the hope is to have someone in place by April 1st and have the committee populated on or about that time. And I believe the August date is the date that the Chester approved the agreement. The terms of the committee are outlined in Section 6, and so the coordinator would support all of those activities. So the coordinator would assist the committee by providing advice, information, and recommendations to the five councils and staff on both internal and external projects and initiatives. So it would act much the same way as our accessibility coordinator. They would become a resource for both council and staff, and we would put that lens on our initiatives, projects, and policies to try to support the anti-racism and diversity efforts of the committee.
Thank you.
Okay. I think we'll put the motion on the floor. Mayor Balivergetson, did you have a comment?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Councillor Bell, are you prepared to put that motion on the floor? 9.1.1.
To the chair and members of the Policy Strategy Committee, I move that the Policy Strategy Committee recommend to Council that Municipal Council approve the terms of the Inter-Municipal Regional Anti-Racism and Diversity Agreement as presented and authorize the execution of same by the Mayor and Municipal Clerk. I so move.
Seconded. Councillor DeLong, is there a discussion on the motion? All those, go ahead, Councillor Haysom.
Thank you. Can I ask, so this is a full-time position, is it? And is it a permanent, ongoing position?
Thank you for the question. It's a full-time position by contract, so term for the length of the agreement.
Term for the length of the agreement. So I guess I wonder, does this person qualify for benefits?
So they're employed through Chester. So my understanding would be that if they were term employed, they would. But that would be determined by Chester.
Alex, do you want to add to that?
Thank you.
Tom has it covered.
Okay. Excellent. Are there any other Councillor DeLong?
We'll be going through the report to council section as well, or is this just about the agreement specifically? On the following page. Under the agreement, there are some.
Nope.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Tom.
Yep. My item is just the agreement.
Yeah, it's a separate agenda item, which there'll be a presentation to it. Yep.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll hold my question until then. But I just wanted to mention that I did notice something in the part where the signatures are meant to be put. Deputy Mayor Francis Kangata is listed under Town of Bridgewater as opposed to below Mahone Bay.
Oh, okay. Do you see that?
Oh, potentially, yeah. Maybe, yeah. I could be wrong on that.
On the committee, okay. Check into that?
Yes, absolutely. There was another unit had a small non-substantive item that they had identified. We'll make sure that the final document that's signed has got the right people on the right lines.
Okay, excellent. We can count on you. Are there any other questions, comments? Okay, all those in favor? Councillor Statton?
Yes.
Motion's passed unanimously. We're going to move down to 9.1.2, Idea Action Plan. And I believe this is Sarah. Yes. Awesome.
Good morning, Council. Piggybacking on the conversation around the regional coordinator, I'm here to talk to you about the internal work that we're doing at Modal. So we worked with a company, I'll start with our strategic priority actually. In 2021, MODL created a strategic priority of choosing anti-racism. So through that, Council made a commitment to investing in funding and staff resourcing to explore what the anti-racism and inclusion issues might be in the municipality internally and externally, and how to address that. Because we don't have on staff a person that is skilled or experienced in this kind of work, we engaged a company called Chrysalis Human Rights Agency. I believe most of Council has done some training with Shakira Weatherden through that. So this company created a comprehensive assessment and review of our EDI work and our policies and procedures. They've provided training to staff at Council, and then they've submitted a recommendation of an inclusion, diversity, equity, and accessibility plan for 2023 to 2028. So we've called that IDEA, inclusion, equity, diversity, and accessibility. So we took that consultant's strategic plan and used it as a guiding document, and staff have developed the attached action plan called IDEA at Modal. So what IDEA at Modal reflects is our commitment to advancing inclusion, equity, diversity, and accessibility for equity-deserving groups in MODL. This plan also incorporates principles from various provincial plans and federal plans. So the Accessibility for Nova Scotians Act, the Dismantling Hate and Racism and Hate Act, which was enacted recently and also will require municipalities to come up with their own plans. Our plan that we have today would meet that requirement when it's in force. It is not currently in force yet. It also includes principles from Count Us In, Nova Scotia's action plan in response to the International Decade for People of African Descent, and it incorporates the Truth and Reconciliation calls to action from the federal government. Our vision is that IDEA at Modal will create lasting change. So 2024 would be considered year one, and it would be a foundation building year. So we would assign a staff member who has an add-on responsibility for IDEA at Modal. So this is the person that would work closely with that regional anti-racism and diversity coordinator. It's the person that would bring all the efforts under one purvey. What we're proposing is that it's an add-on responsibility. We're not hiring a full-time internal permanent person, but someone could expand part of their job now or free up part of their job to take this responsibility on. We're also looking at putting personnel policies in place, developing accountability and governance models. Some of these would come directly from the province. The province is working on three models and lenses that they will then ladder down to us and we would take on. We would be making connections, so reaching out to the community and finding these leaders and collecting data. So it's a lot of planning and allocating of resources in that first year and building awareness. Years 2 to 3 would be about investment and implementing. So we would look at prioritizing investment and implementation. And this is where we start to carry out the more than 53 action items that are in the plan that's in your package.
I'll just stop if I can. Mayor Bolivar-Getson, do you have a question?
Sure. Okay. So these would be the years where action items come to council for budget approval. So this plan has a very small budget ask of an add-on for a staff member every year. But then when the staff member is working with the regional person and making recommendations of we'd like to do this, and there is a budget requirement, they would then go through the standard budget requirement and request process every year to implement these things. And then year 4 and 5 would be about monitoring, evaluating, adapting, and then making part of operations. So looking at the things that we've put in place, evaluating if they're working, making changes. So the budget implication of the proposal and the plan today is an annual cost of roughly $5,000 to develop that add-on IDEA responsibility. We currently have two positions that have this. The AEC roles have it as an add-on, and the corporate services supervisor is an add-on role. Most of the actions that are contained in here, like I said, there's 53. Most of them can be accomplished, in our belief, through the existing staff resources, through the support of the regional anti-racism coordinator. And then some of these actions are actually already in place. We're just formalizing and saying this is what they are and this is why we're doing them to these goals. Some of the actions might require the services of consultants with expertise in IDEA. For instance, if we had a project where we wanted to consult with First Nations, we would likely need to bring in a First Nations experienced consultant. That, again, would go through our regular modal budget process with an annual ask at that time. So council would review it at that time. And I believe you have a motion in your package.
We have a few questions, I think, first. Absolutely. Mayor Bolivar-Getson.
So I'm just trying to clarify the difference between what this ask is compared to the staff person that we just approved.
Sure.
And I guess whether or not the other units will be moving forward with this report as the base for where they're going with their inclusion, diversity, equity, accessibility.
That's a great question. So Modal, our way of associating this is saying, like, we're going to have a regional expert, but someone has to be assigned within Modal to work with that person. Currently, no one's job description anywhere in Modal really covers any of this kind of work. No one's responsible for it. So by designating someone and saying, this is important, this is part of your job, you'll be responsible, then that person will work with that anti-racism coordinator. I don't personally know what each other municipality is going to do with how they will work with this person or implement the things that this person recommends, but you do need that link, right? So you need a connection with an internal resource that says, okay, now we've got recommendations from the anti-racism regional person, and we've got their ideas, and we've used their expertise. Now what? I believe at the town of Bridgewater, it's Patrick Hurdle's role, but I could be wrong about that. I don't know about the other municipalities.
So again, this would be an in-house person?
Yeah.
Yeah, if I can just jump in. Think of the model that we use for emergency management. So Chester is going to host the regional coordinator. So for emergency management, that's our Angela Inhofer. Mm-hmm. And then each unit designates somebody to be responsible. So we call that in emergency management, it's our assistant emergency coordinator. It's not a full-time position. It's a tack-on. You're our building inspector, but when there's an emergency, we pull you off building inspection and you join the emergency coordination mm-hmm. center. So similarly for the diversity and anti-racism position, we'll have a regional coordinator. That's a full-time position. This is just asking to designate an individual within MODL who will have this as a small add-on. So we're not creating a new FTE.
So that would be the expectation throughout the other units as well, that they would have these
add-ons, or designate it. They'll need to find a way to draw the learnings and recommendations from the regional committee down into their operations.
Mm-hmm. And I guess this
Chrysalis
report?
Yeah.
Is that a report that MODL did individually? I believe
yes.
it is.
Yeah, so it's a report, and then we distilled it and we looked at it and we said, what can we actually do? What do we think is practical
but
for us for the next 5 years?
Will that be shared with the regional coordinator?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. We will work really closely anytime. And we've already been sharing.
I guess the other units really shouldn't have to invent the wheel if we've gone through that work ourselves.
Yeah. To date, this has been something I've been doing off the side of my desk, and I've shared everything, not only with the 5 units, but other municipalities like Cumberland has requested to just see our work the whole way. So I've been sharing it every time we get to a next stage with them.
Okay. Thank you.
Councillor DeLong.
Thank you very much. Having read the IDEA Modal Strategic Plan and all the action items, I'm very impressed with the work the staff's put into it. I'm curious if there's going to be any exploration into community names that include outdated terms which are derogatory to equity-deserving groups.
Yeah, so it's not specifically noted in the action items in here, but it would 100% be something that they look at. And I think that would fall under the category of community and service delivery. We have some problematic names in the community for sure still.
Yeah, I looked many of them up last night. There are a number.
Any other questions? Councillor DeLong, are you willing to put the motion on the floor?
Certainly. Thank you. To the Chair and members of the Policy and Strategy Committee, I move that the Policy and Strategy Committee recommend to Council that Municipal Council adopt the Inclusion, Diversity, Equity, and Accessibility 2024 through 2028 Action Plan, and that staff work collaboratively with the Regional Anti-Racism Coordinator on implementing the plan. I so move.
Seconder? Councillor Haysom? Is there discussion on the motion? All those in favour? Councillor Statton?
Yes.
Motion's passed unanimously. So we are going to go down to 9.2.1. Is that Tissy? I think so.
Am I on now? Okay. Lovely. Okay. Sounds good. All right. So I am here today to talk to you about an adult recreation subsidy program that the Recreation Department has been thinking about for a number of years now and are excited to present to you today. So just the discussion points that we'll be having today are there. but we're going to be going over just kind of the concept, the definitions that would be applicable to this project, our community demographics, the benefits of the program, how it aligns with our strategic priorities, best practices, what the eligibility for this type of program would be, or we're suggesting, the procedure and next steps. Excuse me. So the concept, so in line with our ProKids program, so I'm hoping that everyone around the table is quite familiar with our ProKids program by now, but it would be an adult subsidy program for people in the municipality over the age of 19 to participate in recreation, sport, and cultural activities. So our ProKids program currently goes 0 to 18, so this would fill the gap from 19 up. So the definitions, so access, understanding the ways people interact with their environment and recognizing the barriers that prevent equitable participation in active living. A barrier, something that makes it harder for someone to participate. Nova Scotia's Accessibility Act defines a barrier as anything that hinders or challenges the full and effective participation in society of persons with disabilities, including a physical barrier, an architectural barrier, an information or communications barrier, an attitudinal, thank you, can't say that one today, a technological barrier, a policy, or a practice. Equity is a commitment to fairness. Equitable access is different from equal access. So equality means that everybody is treated the same, while equity means that everyone is treated fairly based on their needs and abilities. One that's not in here is around inclusion, and it's the practice of ensuring that all individuals are valued and respected for their contributions and are equally supported. And I just wanted to also make a note that equity acknowledges that race, gender, geographic location, wealth, and other socioeconomic factors may create an uneven playing field. And I just wanted to give you a graphic to kind of lay what the difference between equality and equity are. So in equality, you have four different abilities, but they're all getting the same thing. So it's making sure that everyone has access to the same thing. But equity is understanding the differences between all those people and giving them what they need to be able to participate. So to promote equity, we recognize that people need different degrees and types of accommodations so that everyone can experience recreation and sport. So just a little overview of our community demographics. So since 2016, we've had a 2.7% increase in our population. So we're now sitting at 25,545 people. Of those people, 19,245 are over the age of 19. So that's over 75% of our population is over the age of 19. The median age of our population is 53.6. The current MODL unemployment rate is 10.9%. The Nova Scotia unemployment rate is 5.7%. And the MODL prevalence of low income based on the low income measure after tax is 33.3%.
Could you back?
Sorry, do you want me to go back?
Yes, if you could back that up. The 33.3%. MODL prevalence of low income based.
That's information that I got
so
from United Way.
A third of our population is under... is considered low income? Is that what I'm reading? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Based on information I received from the United Way. So the benefits of an adult recreation subsidy program, we're reducing barriers, we're improving accessibility to access programs, we're providing equitable opportunities for everyone in our communities, we're fostering healthy communities. We're increasing engagement in our communities into the activities. We're being a positive role model for other municipalities, other organizations. We're increasing the individual physical, social, mental, and emotional health of our residents. And we're also supporting local nonprofit organizations who are often the ones that are putting these programs on for our communities. So how does this link to our strategic plans? So within the active living, should be a strategic plan, not survey, one of the goals is to have accessible and inclusive opportunities for active living that provide opportunities for social connection with MODL. And under that goal is to reduce barriers to participation in active living and daily movement to help ensure equitable access. So support low-income populations by offering free and subsidized opportunities and assist with funding opportunities. So currently we have our ProKids program. We have our free equipment loan program so that anyone can access equipment whenever they would like. We have a lot of free and subsidized program currently. And then also under one of the MODL values is around equity and inclusion, and is that we take action to change and grow to be a truly diverse, equitable, and inclusive municipality.
Mayor Bulliver-Getson?
So up to the equipment loan and the free subsidized programming, mm-hmm. that is strictly for the pro kids? Okay, I thought
those
that some of that...
Those are available for anyone, yes. So yes. Those are just examples of current things that we are doing to support low-income populations in the municipality. But no, the equipment loan and free and subsidized program are available for anyone. Yeah. So some of the best practices that I found around the province, there are four here. So the town of Kentville has what's called the Spike Fund. And this is open to their entire county, not just their town, but it's administered by their town, by the town. It's for all ages, so it's not just adults. They don't have a youth subsidy program. This is a subsidy program for all. It's community-driven, and they host fundraisers, and they also do have an option for when they have a paid registration that people can donate on top of their registration costs, and that would go into the program as well. They have a maximum of $200 a year a person plus $50 towards equipment, so an adult could access up to technically $250, including equipment. They focus on community resiliency, and they have an intake opportunity so that they can then connect those people that are accessing their program with other community resources that could support them. They do not require any references or financial information. It's more of an honor system. HRM has a recreation funding access program. It is for HRM residents only, and it is only for programs administered by HRM. It is also for all ages, and they'll fund either 50% of the cost or 100% of the cost based on financials. So they are required to give financial information, and they use Revenue Canada's low-income cutoffs for 2021. East Hants is a very similar program to HRM's. Again, it is for municipal residents only and for municipal programs. They also require financial assistance, and they can receive a 75% discount on up to four programs plus a 110 punch pass for their facility. Then the YMCA also has a financial assistance program, so it's available for anyone that's accessing the YMCA, and it is again based on financial information, and they're eligible for up to 50% subsidy on their memberships. So the municipality currently has a bit of a subsidy rebate program for low-income seniors, the property tax rebate program. So homeowners with household incomes under $40,700 are eligible to receive up to $570 relief on their property tax bill. The budget for this program is $213,400, and the staff have the authority to spend 10% over this budget, allowing for $234,740 to be awarded. And council did just approve $20,000 additionally to this budget. So just an example of how we're already offering subsidies for adults. So our recommendations around the eligibility is that it would be for residents of the municipality that are ages 19 plus who are experiencing a financial need to participate. We're suggesting that we would not, similar to our ProKids program, not require financial information, but it would be based on a reference system. And it would include all recreation, sport, and cultural activities, not just MODL programs, as we often already subsidize or offer free programs.
Are you considering an annual limit per person? Like I think you said Kentville
Yeah,
had...
Kentville does. I'm open to suggestions.
Okay. I don't have one at this time. Mayor Bulliver-Getson?
You said it would be based on reference...
Yeah,
explain what you actually mean there.
So with the ProKids, with the ProKids application form, there's a spot where we don't collect financial information. People can provide that if they so wish, but we do not require it. They would put the name and contact information of a reputable reference that can vouch their financial situation. Whether it's a coach, a teacher, someone in community services, could be a minister, anyone like that, not a family friend or relative, someone that we would be able to contact and they would be able to vouch for their financial situation of that family.
Do we have any other questions? You have more?
Okay. I have more presentation, but I have, you have more questions around this?
One question from Councillor Staton.
Sure.
Thank you, and this is for Tissy. Tissy, I don't like the reference part of this. I don't like the fact that you have to go to a friend or a minister or some person to get a reference to access a low-income subsidy for recreation. I think you'd be better off asking for financial information from that person, and it might be embarrassing for that person to go to someone else and ask for a reference to access a program that's subsidized. So I'm just a little uncomfortable with that aspect of it.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Haysom? Oh, one sec, Councillor Haysom. Yeah. Trudy, you want to add to that?
Yeah, just the reason why we're not asking for the financials, just to give you a little bit of background, we just came from a Recreation Nova Scotia conference that actually reinforced this, is that often the income tax may not be relevant to the person's situation today. So you're looking at last year's. And so it does sometimes create a barrier for those, you know, so it really depends upon the situation the person is living today. So for example, if somebody's getting a divorce, that's happening now, but their income statement might be not reflective of what's happening in their life today. So that's part of the reason. Is to try to eliminate as many barriers as we can, and that's why we're recommending the reference system. It tends to have worked quite well with the ProKids program. That's just giving you the background as to why we're recommending that.
Councillor Haysom?
Thank you very much. I did sort of want to echo what Councillor Staton was saying, that I do have some concerns around that reference piece, but I do also understand that your income statement isn't always reflective of your current situation. Perhaps it could be either or, mm-hmm. so that there's an option to say one or the other, and that provides a little bit more room.
Right. We do have that option available for ProKids, and a lot of times new families to the community, they reach out, they're like, we're looking for funding assistance. We don't know anyone in the community yet that can speak to our financial situation. And then they're happy to provide their notice of assessments with their financials so that we can use that. So.
Excellent. Mayor Butler-Getson?
I guess I see that happening with Kids for ProKids. I think people may not want to do that for adults mm-hmm. from a perspective that the adult may not even want people to know that. And I'm not sure how you get around that piece, but I think that personal information sometimes is just what adults would like to keep it as personal information. But I do look at a recent program that's being held in my community that I've learned that there's two or three people that did not have the financial means to join. And I guess... And I know they probably don't. But I'm not sure how we actually do that in a manner to... I'm not sure if this works for adults. Like I said, it's easy for a counselor or a teacher or someone to sign off on a child that they recognize needs that extracurricular, but I'm not sure who that... It'll be harder for an adult, is, I guess, my thought.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up that example because in the last 3 weeks I've had mm-hmm. two different examples of adults coming to me that weren't able to participate or there's a barrier, financial barrier for them to participate in certain programs, actually both our programs, and our programs are already at a subsidized rate. So,
Councillor Greek?
Thank you. I like the either or option and try it out for a year. If it's not working, then... We figure something else out.
Give them the option of a reference or a notice of assessment or financial information.
We won't know until we try.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to let Tissy continue because we're getting more into the policy end of it. And we'll finish the presentation.
I'll work on that. So just a quick overview of what the procedure would be, exactly like our PROGIDS. So an applicant would complete the application, submit it to us. The program administrator would review and check the reference or notice of assessment, whatever way that looks. The applicant would be notified of their approval or denial, and then we would process that accordingly with the finance department, and then we manage all the tracking and prepare an annual report for council. Oh, sorry.
Councilor DeLong, go ahead.
Thank you very much. So the only criteria for approval or denial would be the reference and or financial?
And their age and where they live.
Okay, great. Yep. Thank you.
So a couple potential funding partners for this program would be the United Way of Canada, of Lunenburg County, Canada. They currently fund ProKids through a grant annually. I did chat with them. It would be eligible under their grant program, just understanding that should we apply for funding under there, it would take away from program funds for another program that the United Way funds. The province of Nova Scotia also has a grant, the Rec Community Development Grant. Funds would be available in that one starting April 2024. They're currently out of funds for this fiscal, but would help with startup funding, not ongoing funding. So budget implications. So our proposed budget for this pilot would be $5,000. Currently, we do have $5,000 in our budget. When we were preparing the 2023-2024 budget, we did increase the ProKids budget by $5,000 in hopes of launching this program. So that is currently there. ProKids currently has a reserve with just over $50,000. So if all funds aren't spent in one budget year for ProKids, that remaining funds go into a reserve. And then council would need to approve to spend that money towards ProKids in the future. As with ProKids, donations will be sought from organizations and individuals at existing programs. For example, Pleasant Paddling hosts two annual fundraisers each year for ProKids, and in the last 5 years, they've donated over $10,000 to ProKids. Just an example of an organization that is actively supporting some of our subsidy programs, as well as the Rotary Club of Lunenburg. They provide annually to ProKids as well. And as with ProKids, once all the funding from all sources is gone, applications will be denied. We don't fund any further until more revenue is generated.
Councilor Greek?
Thank you. Tissy, does that happen annually?
What?
That funding is gone out of the pot and applications denied?
It has not happened to date. We got very close to running out of funding, but like I said, we do have $50,000 in the reserve for ProKids that hasn't been spent, that's accumulated.
So it's never happened.
It has not happened under my watch. Should it happen, I would come back to council and ask for a request to spend some of those reserve funds.
Okay, thank you.
For ProKids specifically. So the next steps would be to draft a policy, develop the application form and formal procedure, then bring it back to council for policy approval, hopefully in November of this year. Then we would promote the program to the community and have an anticipated launch of December of this year.
Councilor Oichel, do you have a question?
Yeah, just a comment. In drafting your policy, I noticed at the beginning, when you were talking about barriers, mm-hmm. you only quoted the accessibility definition of a barrier mm-hmm. rather than mentioning income.
Right.
There's no word of income in that at all, but yet that's what we've been discussing this whole time. So I'm just wondering that perhaps you may want to add that word in there.
And then just at the bottom of this, I added a quote that, as Trudy mentioned, we were just away at a conference last year that was heard that resonated. Make it happen for them or leave them behind. If we don't provide opportunities for everyone to have equitable access to recreation, are we truly fulfilling our value of being an inclusive and diverse organization? So you have a recommended motion before you, and that is what we were currently on.
So we have a motion in front of us, and I'll ask Councillor Greek to put that on the floor.
Thank you. I would absolutely love to put this motion on mm-hmm. the floor. To the chair of members of the Policy and Strategy Committee, I move that the Policy and Strategy Committee recommend to Council that Municipal Council direct staff to develop a policy for Council's consideration respecting an adult recreation subsidy program as presented. And I so move.
Seconded by Councillor Vino. Is there discussion on the motion? Excellent. All those in favor? Councillor Staton?
Yes.
Motion's passed unanimously. So are our presenters ready? Or we could probably move down to... We'll move a 5-minute break. Okay. We'll take a 5-minute break. Be back in five then.